You're listening to Innovation on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Kara Hetland, and June is Cancer Immunotherapy Awareness Month. We thought it was a good time to check in with Sanford oncologist Dr. Stephen Powell about the latest in immunotherapy research. Dr. Powell joins us from his office in Sioux Falls, and thanks for coming back on the program today.
Thanks for having me back on.
So let's talk a little bit, just kind of give a little primer about what immunotherapy is for cancer treatment.
Well, immunotherapy is the concept of using treatments or different therapies to help the body's own immune system fight cancer.
And is it effective? Is it working? Or are we are researchers taking a step back and taking a new look at things?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely it's working. I just came from our national cancer conference, the American Society for Clinical Oncology in Chicago, and I would say the bulk of the conference was talking about these new immunotherapies and how they're revolutionizing our treatment options for cancer.
Okay, and so you need to do look at the sequencing, the genetic sequencing of person of the tumor of the person, or how does it all work in how we attack through immunotherapy?
So there are some cancers that we do genetic sequencing. We can identify that the cancer is more likely to respond to immunotherapy, but it's not required to do that. Actually, there's a number of cancers where it doesn't matter what the genetic makeup is, they would respond regardless of that. So typically we do that sort of testing, but just because you may or may not have that gene mutation, you still may respond to the therapy.
Okay. And how do you use it in instead of or in relationship to like a chemotherapy? Do you do both, one or the other?
So right now, I would say the majority of research that's been presented is using immunotherapy instead of chemotherapy or instead of radiation therapy, and a lot of that is focused on cancers that are not curable. And as you listen to what's being reported out there, a lot of the drugs that are being evaluated, they're being evaluated in stage 4 melanoma, lung cancer, head and neck cancer, and that's where we're seeing a lot of good results. Now we're getting to the point where these therapies are looking so important and so successful in patients of stage 4 cancer, we're starting to say, why don't we do this sooner? Why don't we try to see if we can cure more cancers by adding these early on? And by doing that, we actually do combine it with chemotherapy and radiation, and we're seeing outstanding results.
Okay. And you are currently in the middle of a research project. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so there's a drug called pembrolizumab that's approved by the FDA for the treatment of melanoma and lung cancer right now, and it's an immunotherapy. That drug works to basically allow your immune system to recognize the cancer. It kind of takes the cloak off the cancer and helps your immune system fight it. We did some work in the lab here at Sanford and evaluated this in combination with chemotherapy and radiation in our mice that have head and neck cancer, and we saw a tremendous benefit. Normally, we only cure about 10% of our mice that have head and neck cancers with chemotherapy and radiation. And when we added this drug, we cured over 60% of our mice. So as a result, we have done additional research and now have brought this to the clinic and currently have a clinical trial using the drug pembrolizumab in combination with curative intent chemo radiation for head and neck cancer.
And you're currently enrolling patients, or are you full?
We are about just over a third of the way through the trial. We anticipate it will probably be full this fall, but we just had our initial report of this clinical trial at this national cancer meeting in Chicago, and it sounds like there's going to be a number of similar trials coming out down the road because there's so much promise with this therapy.
How do you know when is a good time to jump in a clinical trial?
I think, you know, it all depends on the type of cancer that you have and what, you know, where the trial is at. There's some trials that are very early that are phase one trials where they're just mainly looking at the dose of a drug. There's some trials that are phase three where they've already shown that this drug looks very promising and it may replace standard of care therapy. And I think when it comes down to, you know, as a patient, you want to evaluate how much, you know, data is there to support this trial and, you know, choose the trial based on what you would like to do. And I think, you know, what I always recommend to people is if they're considering a clinical trial is to ask their physician and see what is their input on this. Is this a good option for you or not?
When we hear things like June is Cancer Immunotherapy Awareness Month, what do people really need to be aware of? That it's an option?
I think they need to be aware it's an option. I had a discussion with a patient the other day. We have seen so much promise with some of these new immunotherapies that are coming out. I think every patient should have access to it, particularly any patient with a cancer that's incurable should have access to these drugs, because we're still learning on how they work and who they work best for. And the only way to know that is to get access to the drug, and usually that's through a clinical trial. And what we've done here at Sanford, what we've been working very hard over the last 3 years, is to bring these trials in so every patient has access to these therapies.
Before they're approved, right? I mean, so, the clinical trial is what you're talking about.
Yep, so these would be through clinical trials. So we have over 20 clinical trials right now focusing just on immunotherapy, and probably an additional dozen opening over the next year through different partnerships that we have through the National Cancer Institute and other groups.
And are there a lot of drugs already on the market, or are they all still in the testing clinical trial phases?
Yeah, so there's actually the main drugs that have been approved so far are a class of drugs called PD-1 inhibitors. The first that was approved was a drug called pembrolizumab of that class for melanoma, and then shortly thereafter a drug called nivolumab. And then we just recently had a new drug approved for bladder cancer called atezolizumab. And I think now we have drugs approved for melanoma, lung cancer, kidney cancer, and now bladder cancer. And we're hoping to see a number of other cancers to get approval over the next year, including some of the lymphomas and other cancer types.
But when you take something like say, a breast cancer or ovarian cancer, is that even a candidate for immunotherapy?
So what we're finding there is a special type of breast cancer called triple-negative breast cancer. Is much more sensitive to immunotherapy than other types of breast cancer. So there are clinical trials open, and we actually do have a trial open for patients with triple-negative breast cancer at Sanford right now because of the promise of that drug. For other types of breast cancer, there's actually been some work in vaccines, so actually using a vaccine not to prevent cancer but to actually teach your body to attack the cancer. So we'll be looking at opening a trial for patients that have a special type of breast cancer using a vaccine later on this year as well.
A vaccine?
Yep. So it's basically training your body to attack the cancer cells rather than the idea of trying to have your body attack a virus.
Talk a little bit about how common head and neck cancers are becoming in this area.
Yeah, so head and neck cancer is the sixth most common cancer. So it's not the most common cancer that we see. What we're seeing, though, is that more and more of our head and neck cancers are being caused by a virus. So they're being caused by human papillomavirus, when traditionally it was smoking and tobacco use and alcohol use that had caused these cancers. So I would say probably about 70% of the patients I see now with head and neck cancer have it caused by a virus, and they may have never smoked or drank alcohol in their entire life. So that's really what we're seeing, is a trend towards viral-driven cancers rather than smoking-related cancers.
But there is a vaccine for the human papillomavirus, correct?
Yep, absolutely. So there's a vaccine that's approved for both boys and girls that can be administrated when they're teenagers. And we're hoping that will lead in the future to less and less HPV-positive cancers. But, we just started instituting that just a few years ago, so it's not been widely used. So we do still see quite a few HPV-related cancers. And also, the vaccine doesn't always protect against all strains of HPV, so we can still see some cases of cancers that are not covered by that. So.
So what else, what other kinds of things? We have just a couple of minutes. I'm just wondering what some of the other things new and exciting that you learned at this event that you went to in Chicago.
Yeah, I think we're at the tip of the iceberg right now, to be completely honest with you. We have a few drugs that have been approved for immunotherapy, and I think they're extremely promising, but we have a number of things that are going to be in development. Actually, one of the classes that has been very interesting are the oncolytic viruses, which there was a special on 60 Minutes not that long ago about the polio virus. There's going to be dozens of those coming out in the next few years. And, you know, we're actually developing one here right now at Sanford, and hopefully we'll have a clinical trial this fall with that. I think that's one area. Another area are the vaccines, as I mentioned, where you train your body to attack the cancer. There's a number of different areas where we're developing those. And then also the other big area of immunotherapy research are what are called cell-based immunotherapies, where we actually remove the immune cells from the body, train them to attack a specific target on the cancer, and then put them back in. And, you know, that's been something that's been done a lot in pediatric cancers. It's something called CAR T-cell therapy, but we're starting to see it used more for other types of cancers as well.
How do you know when you see a patient what is the right treatment to do?
I think, you know, as you see a patient for the first time, for many cancers, we have standard guidelines on here would be the standard treatment to do in this situation. And I think that helps guide you on what treatment you should choose. Also, clinical trials help you decide what to do for treatment. For pretty much every cancer type that is out there, clinical trials are the recommended treatment options for most cancers. And the idea behind that is that for a cancer that's incurable, the only way to find the best treatment for this is to try some of these novel drugs or treatments in a clinical trial setting. You know, we have groups that sit together annually and even more often than that to sit down and try to develop these guidelines to help us decide which treatments we should use. And as part of that, we decide when we start integrating immunotherapy into that treatment paradigm.
Now flip it and pretend you're the patient. How do you know as a patient which is the right one to choose?
I think that always comes down to a discussion with your physician and, you know, your family, and also think about what you would want for yourself. I think sometimes we have a lot of choices, sometimes we don't have a lot of choices. And when you have several choices to pick from, you have to decide, you know, what are the side effects going to be? What is my quality of life? What are the things that are going to happen through this therapy, and decide which treatment option sounds the best to you.
And what kind of side effects are there with immunotherapy treatments?
I think that's the biggest appeal to these treatments is that the side effects seem to be, you know, fairly minimal compared to chemotherapy. When they do comparisons of side effects of these head-to-head of chemotherapy, you see that people will stop chemotherapy early, yet stay on their immunotherapies because there doesn't seem to be a lot of side effects. I think there is a potential for side effects with it if the immune system gets too activated, but now we're starting to learn how to manage that very well and balance those side effects. And it seems that at the end of the day, these therapies are going to be much better tolerated than chemotherapy.
Okay. Dr. Paul, I want to thank you for coming back on the program today. I appreciate it.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you very much.